This item is from Blind Centered to Inclusive Leader. I don't need to tell you about Accessible Pharmacy, do I? Of course not. They were one of our Bolotin Award winners, right? Right? And that means we already know the quality of their work. How many people use Accessible Pharmacy? Yeah. So, I would encourage all of you to learn about the work that they're doing. This gentleman is the co-founder of Accessible Pharmacy, and in his role as CEO, he works to make sure that Accessible Pharmacy is occupying a space that really nobody else has decided to innovate on. This company has decided to lean into making sure that blind people just don't have access to good and quality information around the management of their health, but they have full and equal access. And more than that, they are hungry to know what more blind people want because they're eager to figure it out. We're looking forward to our continued work to build a relationship with Accessible Pharmacy. And so for the first time to give a presentation to this convention, but I hope not the last, please welcome Andy Bernstein.
I was really curious to hear what music would lead me into this, so interesting. That being said, hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you for that generous and warm introduction. Thank you, everyone, for hanging around to hear what I have to say. I greatly appreciate all of you. I also don't take for granted being in person with everyone post-pandemic and being able to connect with people in person as opposed to just on Zoom. And thank you for everyone who stopped by our booth in the exhibit hall. It was really nice to meet a lot of you who I've only spoken with on the telephone or on Zoom. That being said, I want to give a special shout out to the team from Pennsylvania. So it's nice to connect with everyone here in beautiful, sunny, cool temperatured Orlando. Most importantly, I want to thank those of you who are patients of ours. It means a lot to us. We're very grateful. And for those of you who are aware, have been following us, because of the growth that we've had with our patients, we actually outgrew ourselves this spring. And so it's been a little stressful, but the good news is we're in the process of an expansion. And because of this expansion, by the end of this year, we will be operating in all 50 states, as well as D.C. and Puerto Rico. We'll be hiring more people from the blind and low vision community. We'll be connecting with more prescription assistance programs, expanding some of our educational outreach, and more. So thank you, everyone. I also want to compliment and congratulate this year's recipients of the Dr. Jacob Bolotin Award. I want to thank all of you who attended some of our educational programs online and at last year's Blind Health Expo. We had over 10,000 attendees. We're going to be doing it again this December. It's virtual, so we hope you all can join us. I'm going to real quickly speak about three things. And these are things that we as a company are following. And we've talked about a lot of these things today. I'm going to speak about how they intersect with healthcare. All right? So the first is artificial intelligence. All right? We all hear about artificial intelligence. It's awesome. You read about it every day. You hear about it every day. There seems like to be a new cool story about artificial intelligence. I still have no idea how it works. Okay? But it's really like science fiction. And the healthcare segue here is, in speaking with a friend of mine who's a cardiologist, he made a fascinating comment to me, which was, if you can hang around for 5 more years, stay alive for 5 more years, artificial intelligence is advancing so quickly that you'll actually add another 5 years to your life on the back end. right? So you think about that, like how fascinating that is for all of us to be living in a time of this incredible, incredible technology. I was going to do a quick demonstration of Be My Eyes and how Be My Eyes uses AI. And then I heard Brian earlier and Kearns earlier demonstrate the more advanced technology, which was this morning I was playing with the current version that I have because we were part of the beta testing team. I was playing and it blew me away. It still blows me away. Just to hear what they are doing is even 10 years beyond what currently exists. So I encourage everyone who doesn't use Be My Eyes, please use it. It's fascinating. We support patients with Be My Eyes. We help our patients do home COVID tests. We help women do home pregnancy tests. We help people with pill identification, label understanding, training individuals how to use small medical devices, measuring liquid measurements, everything that you can imagine using Be My Eyes for when it comes to a pharmacy, that's where we intersect ourselves. What other examples of AI touch healthcare? I'll hand a few out to you. And by the way, this technology is literally right around the corner. Medical imaging, using AI for medical imaging. Right now, whether it's an X-ray or a CAT scan or a mammogram, imagine being able to be more precise. Imagine for AI in a mammogram being able to diagnose a woman with breast cancer before it actually appears on the mammogram screen. Imagine robot-assisted surgery. This really exists already, and it's only going to get better. So that surgeries are more precise and they're faster. And for people in developing countries and people in rural communities who don't have access to specialists, to have a general practitioner or a healthcare provider do procedures but with the help of AI. For drug discovery, right now, one of the reasons why drugs are so expensive is it costs a lot of money to take medication to market, to discover the drugs, to do the research, to do the trials. Imagine expediting that tenfold and reducing the costs that bring medications to the market. Imagine virtual health assistants in everyone's home. Imagine, like, the concept is, imagine Alexa, that woman who lives in all of our homes, and merge her together with a nurse who lives in your house. Right? Who's able to help you navigate the world of healthcare, of recovery, of diabetes, et cetera. Speaking of diabetes, last year we were very lucky. We were the beneficiaries of a small grant from the Centers for Disease Control to have people from our team teach online pre-diabetes education classes and soon to be diabetes education classes. It's been incredible. In fact, the first person who went through the training with us is here, President Lynn Heitz from the state of Pennsylvania. So if you have questions about the program, you can check with her. Let me see, what else? Second thing that's really important. This is a mouthful, but it's taken me about a year to get it to roll off my tongue. The Medical Device Non-Visual Accessibility Act. All right? I can't even begin to emphasize how much of a game changer this is and how the NFB is going to be responsible for dragging it over the finish line. And there are so many populations who benefit from this, and the blind community is actually taking the lead to make this happen for the rest of society. And what do I mean by that? One of the most obvious and prominent and game-changing technologies that already exist are the continuous glucose monitors that help individuals manage their glucose. Well, it's, you know, everyone here understands the obvious benefits to the blind community, but we have patients who have no arms who benefit from that service. We have patients with cognitive and intellectual disabilities who benefit from those services. We have patients who are terrified of pricking their fingers and getting blood on a strip. And it's the blind community that's actually leading the way to make that stuff that's accessible. And the NFB is at the forefront of that. And then there are simple technologies, things like thermometers, scales, you know. But there's bigger devices like home dialysis equipment that will be accessible. Home CPAP machines that will be accessible. That's right. One final thing is a personal experience that I had that really helped me understand something, which was I had hand surgery about 3 weeks ago. For anyone who stopped by my booth, you got an earful about my hand surgery, right? I was just about to go under anesthesia, and I was speaking with the nurse practitioner and my surgeon, and they were reviewing all these documents with me. And I said, you know, is there a way that you can email this to me? Because there's no way I'm going to remember any of this stuff after anesthesia, right? And then I took a moment. I said to the surgeon, and to qualify this, this is a surgeon from an Ivy League university, an Ivy League university's hospital. And I said, out of curiosity, do you know how people who are blind read emails? And she paused and she said, I have no idea. And so I got on my soapbox, which is really just me in the exam room on the bed. And I explained to her very quickly, hey, this is how an individual who is blind uses the internet. And I said, if you want to email me those documents, I'll give you feedback about if they're accessible or not. She got so excited. She said, would you be willing, when you come back for your follow-up appointment, to speak for a few minutes with my team so that we can figure out how we can be more accessible to the blind community? And what's amazing is it occurred to me during the course of the year, just by accident, I interact with about 50 healthcare providers. Okay, so my veterinarian and the team there, my dentist, I hopefully don't have to go back to the surgeon again, but my surgeons, my general practitioner, my cardiologist, I touch about 50 healthcare providers. And so I'm gonna make it my personal business to very casually give them a little tip and not shove them to accessibility, but just guide them towards accessibility and encourage them to be more accessible. And if we all take a step to do that, and we think hey, next time we're all at our doctor, at our veterinarian, at our dentist, if we say, hey, I've got a tip for you, and give them a little tip, there are 4,000 people here, I believe, collectively, and we're all seeing 50 doctors, that's 200,000 times that we are introducing accessibility to the healthcare community, right? And so it's little steps like that that can make a really big change in how we all experience healthcare and how healthcare can be more equitable and more accessible. That being said, finally, this is my last thought. It's often said that laughter is the best form of medicine. So I'm going to share a quick pharmacist joke. So a woman goes into the pharmacy, and she makes her way all the way to the back, and she gets to the counter. She tells the pharmacist what she needs, and the pharmacist hands her a bottle of liquid medication. She takes the liquid bottle, and all of a sudden, she busts into a dance. She's stomping up and down, and she's wiggling her hips, and she's shaking her arms, and she's bopping her head. And the pharmacist is perplexed, so he leans over, and he says, is everything all right? And the woman says, yes, the instruction said shake well before using. So that being said, I hope everyone has a great time for the rest of the convention, has fun tonight. Thank you again, everyone. I greatly appreciate you all. Be well.
Thank you for shaking my hand.
We're going to do some more work together.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
Someone said shake it. Andy, we look forward to doing more work with you. Thank you very much. And please check out Accessible Pharmacy if you haven't already. It's a great service, and they are very well committed to being blind-centered. Okay.